welcome to News Burp, the show that trolls the internet for news and burps its essence in your general direction. My name is Matt. Him over there is Adam.
Seven up.
This is episode number 256.
All right.
Today, they've got stories about designer labels make you a no good cheater, a sheep shagger avoids deportation over refugee status, and we're all about to be invaded by trillions of underground insects.
I have naked cleaners to take care of those insects, and Caitlyn Jenner is not friendly with everybody.
Caitlyn Jenner, why do you bring Caitlyn Jenner into it? Because you're going to make me sound like a bigot and a transphobe when we talk about Caitlyn Jenner.
Well, I think she's doing it herself.
Okay, fair enough, can't we?
Yeah.
Yeah. Also, big thanks still to all the people who sent in questions and stuff for last week's Ask Us Anything episode, because it was a great, I really had fun having that episode. Although Mason Sloan, who's one of our patrons on patreon.com/newsburp, got his question in late, so we'll get to his stuff later on.
Cool.
But yeah, you can always get in touch. We do hopefully get a regular mailbag section going. So shout@thenewsburp.com or any of the socials /newsburp when you get us there. That was a good bit of fun. But any crack? Anything strange going on?
I had to give my blood again, which is always
that's always fun.
Yeah, new ward. So
yeah,
you go through and it's lovely and shiny. But the weird thing is, you take my blood and they say, okay, take it easy, you know, relax, make sure you don't like overdo it or whatever. But once you leave the ward, you go down a flight of stairs. I thought, that can't be good. If you're feeling any way weak or tired or anything, you're just kind of going, should I just slide down the banister and just hope for the best? And I thought, well, I'm in a hospital, so what's the worst going to happen?
For anyone who doesn't know, I don't want to give too much away about your private health things, but it's been discovered that Adam is immune to COVID, so he's been used as like the savior of the world. It's just like Will Smith and I Am Legend. He can't be killed by this virus, so they're taking his blood and they're putting it in the water supply to cure us all.
Okay, so I'm just gonna that's a big no. So,
are you going to? I'm not a full time bloodologist, but
oh my god!
You know, yeah. I imagine, because you know, you told me what was wrong with you, and I kind of drifted off, and that's kind of what I remember. You know, you're here to save us all, and there's no reason why you can't, because I believe in you.
Jeez, with all that positive energy, I can't go. I can't say no now, can I? I believe you. You're here to save Ranch Adam. Yes.
It's like Elmo trying to sell you Christianity. Yeah, you know, everything's going to be fine. You know, can't say no to Elmo. Huh?
It's like, just give us like 100 quid a week. Okay, Elmo. And you'll be saved. Excellent. I'll just set up a standing order right away.
I mean, I wish that I was the key to humanity, because I would just profit off that shit like nobody's business.
Fucking hell. I street to it. If I was the key to save the world,
for those of you just listening,
I would
not
be
watching, that
fucking
sound was the sound of Adam like actually face palming himself.
It's just the whole, you're the key to save the world. You better show me some cash money or I'm going to be no saving in this direction. Motherfucker.
I think at the very least, considering how fickle the world of finance is and business and pharmaceuticals and politics, it would cost nobody any amount of money just to keep me happy. If I was the saviour of the world. And if I was the saviour of the world, I don't think anyone would deny me that.
I don't think so either. I think you'd be spot on there.
I mean, I don't want disgusting amounts of money. You know, just enough so that I don't have to, you know, check the bank balance when I go to get diesel. You know, I'm not a greedy man. I just want a roof over my head, my bills paid, and my pipe full. That's all I want.
I think
I'm not
you
a greedy
know
man.
I think we both know that you want enough money that when you go anywhere and you go, I want that, you want the answer to be yes, sir.
True. I do want disgusting amounts of money. I want the kind of power where I can go into like a restaurant and order anything off the menu, and they just get it for me, because if they don't, I can disappear them. Like, I want to be able to walk in and just be like, oh, yeah, I see you've got tortillas on there. Well, I want mine made out of tortoise. I want tortoise tortillas.
Holy crap. God.
Go and get a live tortoise and make tortillas out of it, and then shoehorn a sausage on there. you know.
Fucking hell. I can see you walking up and down going, hi, I'd like a McUnicorn burger, please. A what?
Yeah.
Yeah. I want a McUnicorn burger. Yeah. I want unicorn meat. So we only have, like, good old Irish beef.
Yeah.
I think you find out what unicorn beef. Give me some unicorn beef.
Here's the fact for you.
Yeah.
You'll have to say whether this is true or false. True or false, Adam? The national animal of Scotland is a unicorn.
I'm going to say false.
Oh, you're so wrong. I said the exact same thing. You can actually Google it. Unicorn is Scotland's national animal. Official national animal.
Is that why there's a unicorn and a lion on the coat of arms of England or something?
I'm going to say yeah.
Really? I mean, I'm not a unicorn?
Yeah. And I mean, I'm not a full-time unicornologist, but I know. But when I heard that the first time, you know what went through my head?
What?
Which was, that couldn't be true. Because, like, you know, are unicorns as old as Scotland?
That's what went through your head. Oh, thank God those edibles are gone. Oh, dearie. Fuck.
Anyway, we've covered a whole lot in this banter section, so we should probably move on to the old
the actual thing.
The old actual thing, some weekly weird updates.
All right. News.
That's it. That's all we need.
Now. Yep. We spent a long time working hospitality.
Yes.
Right. Actually, neither one of us is in it anymore.
Yes.
Right. But all the years that we spent in hospitality gave us the fantastic ability to be able to judge people just by looking at them.
It definitely gave us strong first impressions that were usually proven true.
Should have been a fucking politician with an answer like that. You can judge somebody the second you lay eyes on them. That's what you're saying.
I say, if someone walks in, if it smells like a dick, tastes like a dick, looks like a dick, is a dick.
It's a dick. So, I've always had the opinion that people who dress themselves head to toe in designer stuff are wankers. Right? Now, I know this, Nona. We also share a few mutual friends / acquaintances who probably dress themselves head to toe in designer gear. Still doesn't change the fact that they're wankers, right? It's like, because if you treat yourself, say you have a special occasion, going, I'll go in and I'll get that nice suit or that nice shirt or you know, dress or whoever you are, wherever you're going to get. But to like have a wardrobe full of that shit, I mean, even if you're super rich, it's still a bit wanky, you know.
I suppose so.
And also, I mean, to me, because I come from, I'm not very materialistic. So for me, I'd rather spend €50 in pennies or duns than €50,000 in a designer place. It just doesn't hold any interest in me.
Yeah, I think the only thing I spend money on is shoes and coats, because I think they should be, you know, long lasting or like be able to take a bit of a beating.
Yeah.
Everything else? Exactly.
Everything else is just, it really is just a label. But I think that the whole designer thing is that you're trying to present an image of yourself that isn't really there. You know, it's faking it till you make it. It's, you know, it's perception versus reality. And for that reason, I wasn't surprised at all to hear that this headline, which is that men who wear Ralph Lauren polo shirts are more likely to cheat.
Well, yeah, because I'm guessing it's either one or two of the extremes. If you are a Ralph Lauren kind of wearer, you probably do have the money, maybe. And so you do kind of think, well, women are part of my materialistic livelihood.
Yeah.
If you're on the opposite scale, where you don't have the money, but you are buying the Ralph Lauren, you think, well, that's how I should act. You think, if I'm going to act or dress like a big Billy Big Bollocks, I'm going to just treat women like I am.
Yeah, but also when I think Ralph Lauren polo shirts, I just think of popped collars.
Oh yeah, like I instantly think of D4 rugby.
They were always the fucking cunts. No, like no matter where you're from, because from like here in the UK, it was like, yeah, popped collar polo shirt was like a rugby wanker.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is in America or elsewhere, but it's probably just douchey. It's just a douchebag. I don't know. But like,
they'd be preppies, like prep school.
Yeah. Like, there was
kind of people.
And again, we have mutual friends and acquaintances who went through the whole popped collar phase. I myself tried it for a moment and caught sight of myself in the mirror and went, oh, I'm not that much of a wanker. So I immediately put it back to the way it was designed to be worn, you know.
I never did it. And sadly for me, being the person I am, I always want the opposite. I always like grandfather shirts. Like, any excuse. It's like, yeah. You'd be like, oh, we're going out, we're going to get a shirt. I'd go, oh, I'd love a grandfather shirt that has no colour. It's like, why are you that guy? I don't know. I just don't know. I don't know why I have to be like that opposite.
Let's see. Okay, so here's the story. Gone are the days of looking through your partner's phone to check his text or going on a quasi-spy mission to catch him philandering. Now, there's an easier way to see if he's two-timing, according to a recent study. Men who wear extravagant fashions with large luxury logos embroidered on them are more likely to be untrustworthy. So there you go. That's how you know I'm a solid bet, because I ain't got labels on anything.
I got hand-me-downs from me dad.
I don't even know where I came from. Never mind the shit I'm wearing.
Yeah, we're catches.
Yeah, yes, we are. I just, you know, I was in Paris a couple of years ago, and we walked by the Louis Vuitton shop. Now, it's not the same as the Louis Vuitton shop in Grafton Street, because that's part of Brown Thomas. So it's more like the one in Dublin is not like a full-on.
It's a section, shop. Really, isn't it?
It's like a section of the department store. But the Louis Vuitton shop in Paris, first of all, has security on it. I don't think you can just walk in. I think it's appointment only or whatever it is. But like the people, I saw a woman walking out of it, right? And I would say she was a middle-aged woman, kind of late into the middle age, maybe. And head to toe, Louis Vuitton. The sunglasses, the blouse, the jewellery, the skirt, the shoes, the handbag. She looked like a fucking clown. She looked like a clown. She looked like a Batman villain in a Joel Schumacher film. She looked ridiculous. But she felt this shit. Because she strode down that street like she owned it.
Mental.
But at no point was I envious of her. At no point, and also on the same street, there was all the sports cars, which I think all the influencers pose in front of, you know, to the whole facade of them being successful. But like Lamborghinis, Porsche, Ferrari, Maserati, Bugattis, all lined up along the street. I didn't feel jealous of them either, because it doesn't do anything for me. Like, you know, it's a completely alien world to me, the whole... Yeah. Labels thing. I just, it never appealed to me. I just don't understand it. But it doesn't surprise me that if you're into fashion, you're a wanker. It just, you know, I've been saying it for years, you know.
I think if that kind of stuff takes over your life,
yeah.
It's like, it's one thing to kind of treat yourself to those kind of things. And like, yeah. I'm going to get like a Louis Vuitton bag, or I'm going to get the shoes, or I'm going to get some kind of like treat for myself. But if you kind of go, this is my lifestyle, everything has to cost 1,000 monies or I don't want it.
Yeah.
It's like, do you want a tenpenny bag? Does it cost 1,000 euros? It's a tenpenny bag. I don't want it. Do you want a pack of John Ian earrings? Does it cost £1,000?
Yeah.
Yes. Yes, it does to you. It does. Give me those John Ian earrings.
Yeah, I suppose.
It's a weird
I'm just like, well, you know, I'll have the Lidl onion rings and I'll save myself a grand.
That's it. And it's whatever about the people who have the money and they're spending it, because I think, well, they're keeping the economy going. You know, they have lots of money, they're throwing it into shops and all that kind of stuff. It's the person who goes in who has 10 euro in his pocket but has a credit card and goes, Louis Vuitton shoes, please. You're like, really? Yes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And what are you going to eat today? I'm going to lick the floor and see what happens.
Yeah, I'm having a nap for dinner.
I'm just going to open my mouth and whatever falls in, I'm going to eat today.
How many calories does air have?
I just think...
Yeah, I just...
And they're the people who take the pictures of it going, new Louis Vuitton shoes, check out my new shoes. Yeah. What are you wearing on top of that? Oh, I had to sell everything, so I am naked. But I got Louis Vuitton shoes.
I know. Yeah, like...
Got nothing.
And I kind of... I mean, I think I'm from like, the background, because, like, we didn't have anything growing up, because we were poor growing up. Let's just call it spade a spade. We grew up in the 80s. My dad spent half his working life on strike. We were poor, right? So... I think if I was, like, even if I was given a designer anything, I'd be like, I don't know if I can wear this, you know? Yeah. Like, this is my special occasion stuff. Like, the first ever label I bought myself, I was 15, and I got my first ever pay packet. And I went out and I bought a pair of Nike Air Max. And I was like, and at the time they were like £90 or something, which is being €130. So like, I was like, I gotta get these ones, and I wore them out, and some jealous little shit literally stamped on them and made shite of them. Like, they were out of the box for like a half an hour, and that's when I realised to myself, well, I just spent all this money, and now because of some prick, they're not fucking worth anything.
This is it,
you know. So yeah, I could afford to buy them, but instantly because he fucked them up, they're not worth anything. So like. What's the point in spending all that money? They can still look nice, and, you know, you don't mean you have to look like a fucking hobo all the time, even though I do. But, like, you know, you don't have to, but it's like, why spend all that amount of money on it? Just because there's a label or a designer on it, or there's a whatever. Like, I don't understand. Like, the one big question for me, and I know the Flight of the Conchords made a joke about it in one of their songs, which is, if all these sneaker companies and trainer companies are using slave labor, why are we still paying €150 for a pair of fucking shoes? If they're paying like, you know, a 6-year-old kid 50 cents a week to make them, why are we paying $150 in the shop for them?
One guy went, they're class. I'd pay £150 for those, and a marketing guy went, how much are they? £150. Because you're gonna give me.
Well, I understand that, but like, even though people nowadays know, anything that has a label on it or a brand is probably coming from China or some country where they employ, you know, and that's a loose term, you know, slave labor.
Yeah.
You know, to get shit done. And like every iPhone is released for $1,200 and people are going, oh yeah, well, it's worth it. And it's not really, like, you know, they pumped them out for nothing.
It's the latest. It's not like, even people are still like criticizing the iPhone 12 because of like the chargers and the no earphones and all this kind of stuff. All the stuff you used to get in the old phones. I was just like, is it really better? The camera, man, the camera. Well, will I not just get a camera?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
Well, I'll just get a camera.
I mean, there's also like a brand, there's like a brand relationship there. Like, I have one of the Chinese Huawei phones.
Yeah.
And it's the one I have, well, it's only a year old to me, but it's probably 2 years old on the market. And it still has a better camera than any iPhone that's out there. But you can't say that to an Apple person, because like, oh, pss, pss, Chinese, they're spying on you. I'm like, yeah, what do you think Apple's doing?
Yeah. Hey, sorry, is this your first iPhone? No, I've had one since the iPhone. Oh, shut up. It's like, do you have the 4, the 5, the 6, the 6S, the 7, the 8? Yeah. Good man.
Like, I'm generally... I'm not really loyal to brands. Now, I say that, like, I have, you know... I used to have Samsung phones, but then the whole thing started to explode things, so I went over to HTC. And it was like, the only reason I got... 2 HTCs in a row was because the last one I had worked. So I was like, well, now I know it works, I'll just get another one. It didn't bother me about the specs.
Yeah.
I was like, I'm not going to use the camera, I'm not going to use all that shit, but, you know, I know it works, so I'll get another one. But there's people, I don't know why there's like a brand. I remember watching a documentary once that brand loyalty is nearly akin to being in a cult or a religion. Is that, you know, if you believe, like if you're an Apple customer, and you're one of those people who camps out, and most of them are paid actors, by the way. But if you camp outside like an Apple shop for 2 weeks just to be first in line to get the new whatever it is, you know, and then you get it, and then you're part of one of the first people to get it. It's the same feeling that people describe when they're, you know, if they have a religious experience,
yeah,
you know, or they have a spiritual experience. It's that same kind of warmth and glow that you get, and I'm like, it's a fucking phone, man. I mean, you know, everyone likes a shiny new gadget, but, you know, it's a phone, you know.
Yeah, like when it comes to, because I once got my first iPhone, I went, yeah, I can work this, and yeah. So I stuck with it, but
yeah,
I'm always too when I say two phones, I'm always two numbers behind, because like there's the 10, there's the 10S, there's the 10XR and all whatever. So if they're on the 12, I'm on the 10. When everyone had a 10, I had the 8. Everyone, I was and so on. So I was like, I use them for more so convenience, like swapping everything over. It's grand.
Well, you see, I would be. So easy. Also, I don't understand why technology has to move as fast as it does, like on a yearly basis, and even then, like it only gets kind of incrementally.
Like it's minimal.
But it's like, because like I have the PlayStation 5, and its improvement over the PlayStation 4 graphically is great, and the controller is fantastic. But other than that, that's pretty much it. They've improved the graphics and the speed, but technology was going to do that anyway, because technology, you know, just evolves. It just gets better.
Yeah.
But if PlayStation were like, if Sony were to release a PlayStation every year, I'd be like, fucking calm your shit. And I mean, they're already going to release a PlayStation 5 Slim or a PlayStation 5 Pro or whatever the next iteration is going to be.
Yeah.
But it's not every year. It's not every 12 or 14 months. It's you know, like this one was... Is there like a 10-year gap between PS4 and PS5? I don't know, but it's not a yearly thing.
No,
but it's people. It's like, oh, you have to get the new iPhone, I have to get the new Apple thing, I have to get the new Samsung thing, or it's the same with sports and football clubs. You know, that they release a new kit, gotta go get a kit.
Yeah,
and like it just seems to be. I don't think I get really excited about anything. Maybe there's a new TV show coming out and going, oh, I wonder what's the latest season of that. But that's not because I'm branded to that particular producer.
Yeah. It's not like if the show is on Netflix or it's on, say, Amazon Prime, you're not going to go, I'm not watching anything on Amazon Prime. It's like, well, it's good, you'll watch it. Straight on there, it's like,
yeah.
It's good.
Yeah. Yeah. I've always said it.
You've always said it. You don't shut up about it.
If I've said it once, you know, it's every day and twice on Sunday. Anyone who's related to anyone who has an infatuation with labels or fashion is a wanker. And now here's the news saying it.
You heard it here first, people. Well, you heard it here probably like 20th.
Definitely still heard it here first. And now it's been legitimized by quote unquote mainstream media. So there you go.
In your face, label wankers.
Yeah. Like, if you have to lounge around the house in designer pajamas, go fuck yourself. Right? If you're not Hugh Hefner, you can't lounge around in designer fucking tailor-made pajamas. Oh. Go fuck off. I don't mind if you got, like, if you're going, like you say, a big famous actor and you're going to your award ceremony, lash out all the designer shit you want to, man. This is your night. Go for it. Yeah? But if you're going out to the local fucking Coke and cocktails party, you know, fuck off, right? We know you can't afford that shit. I'm going on a rant.
Next story, man. We're moving on.
Next story, right? Now imagine, right?
Yes.
Imagine you're a refugee. Yeah.
Okay, go.
Now imagine your favorite thing is to sodomize sheep.
Yeah?
Right? Yeah.
Okay.
Do you think, right, that even though you've been sodomizing sheep on a regular basis, this is your favorite thing to do, right? You've tried fishing, you've tried stamp collecting, you've tried fucking tie-dyeing t-shirts, none of that shit's working. You're going to sodomize sheep. This is your new favorite thing to do ever.
Okay.
Right. Do you think you should be able to avoid deportation for said sodomization because you have refugee status?
So I've come over from Kazakhstan.
I head
over to like Mayo.
Yeah.
And I start sodomizing the sheep over there. Yeah. And the Mayo farmer goes, I'll have you deported for doing that. But I did it at home. This is my thing.
Yeah.
I should probably get like a right spanking, as long as I didn't enjoy it.
Well, here's the story. Look, as far as I'm concerned, using refugee status to escape a criminal charge is, as far as I'm concerned, if you're a criminal here, you shouldn't be granted refugee status, you know.
Yeah.
You abused the laws here. You know, we were willing to give you a shot. You fucked up that shot. You should be thrown out. That's, you know, I'm liberal in the sense where I'll say, yes, we should grant refugee status to people who genuinely need it.
Yes.
But then I'm conservative enough to go, if you throw it back in our face, you should be fucked out.
Yes.
Anyway, here's the story. This Eritrean-born serial sheep abuser who also attempted to rape a woman in Switzerland has been sentenced to prison and inpatient therapy, but will not be deported after serving his time because of his refugee status.
Mm. But like,
so not only is he a sheep sodomizer, but he's also a rapist. Well, attempted rapist.
Like, the guy's obviously a danger to society.
Yes.
So should that be like some kind of punishment?
Well, he's going to be in prison, but they can't deport him. So he still gets to regain his refugee status, which is the problem I have.
Mm.
You know. The verdict was announced yesterday. Well, this is last week. He's sentenced to 20 months in prison and will receive inpatient therapy after an expert suggested that he was suffering from schizoactive disorder. There's lots of letters in that word that don't belong together. Schizoaffective disorder.
Schizoaffective disorder.
There you go.
Jesus.
Schizoaffective disorder. Yes, he fucks sheep.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not a full-time schizoaffectiveologist, as we all know. You know, but I would still, if you, just based on the headline alone, I'm like, yeah, man, he's not right in the head.
Yeah. But where do you put him, though? Where do you put him? Somewhere there's no sheep, New York City.
Somewhere there's no sheep. Adam, your chances of not being around your sheep are always close to zero, but never zero.
Even in New York City?
Yeah, I imagine. Look, there's always somebody with a sheep.
That's frightening.
You know. Yeah, I'm sure if you go down to one of those little cities like they have around a place like Little Greece or Little Turkey, they've got a sheep around there somewhere. Or a goat.
Quite true. Quite true.
The defendant's lawyer, Rolf Ratz, great name, had requested for his client's acquittal and outpatient therapy on the basis of his obvious mental health problems. This is why I don't like lawyers, right? His obvious mental health problems, and you want him to not go to jail and be out in public.
Well...
It's like a contradiction. It's like, look, this fat man wants to lose weight, so we're going to send him to be a food reviewer in Burger King.
Come on, he's working. He's a working man.
He's working.
It's a real Saul Goodman side of it, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's like, I'm not lying to you, but come on.
Come on, you can see from both sides, but more my side than your side. His verdict should be followed by an 8-year ban from the Alpine country, but local sources said he will not be sent back due to his refugee status, as his country does not accept refugees back. So, if you've left the country and be like, I'm a refugee and I need a refugee status, and the country goes, yeah, okay, fine. He can't ever go back home because they're like, no, you fucked off and said you're a refugee, so you can stay a refugee.
That's mental.
So, to me... this sheep sodomizer and attempted rapist found a loophole in the system and was like, I can do whatever I want here and they can't get rid of me.
Diplomatic immunity, but not.
Yeah. Amateur sheep breeder Victor Score, 68, who discovered that the criminal raped two of his sheep on repeated occasions in February and March 2020, found the defendant's lack of control questionable.
That's such a good word, isn't it?
Yeah.
How do you think? What do you think of his behaviour? To be honest, I find it quite, you know, questionable. You don't find it fucking horrid, no? No, just very, very questionable. I frown at it. I'd say I frown at it.
It's one step away from how would you define his mental state? Interesting.
I would say now.
I would say that would be an ecumenical matter. The shepherd recently revealed he slept in the stables for 3 months but never caught the sheep rapist during his abusive act, saying it didn't matter when I took up my post if the rape came before or after or not at all. He added that the man was always looking for new ways to trespass. This guy was playing the game out of it.
He's looking for a fucking slap.
The 33-year-old broke into the stables of the pensioner on 6 occasions to rape 2 of his sheep named Bali and Lissy. I love how they named the sheep. I love how there was no gag order on the media. to not name the victims of the sheep rape.
Well, then, you think they'd be like in some kind of protective custody or some kind of asylum for sheep?
Well, apparently they were in protective custody, and the rapist still got in and raped them.
God, and why is like he going after the same two sheep?
Look, he must have just found something in him that he liked, you know,
a grip. Don't like it.
He also damaged the property and stole some tools, apparently. But like this, look, the crux of the matter is that this guy is an attempted human rapist, an actual animal rapist. And when he gets out of jail, he's just going to be like, off you go. Like, you see, this is where I come down. Is that if somebody has a genuine, I don't know what the terms are for requesting asylum or claiming refugee status. I don't know what it is, but I think the basic is that, you know, yeah, we'll grant you refugee status. You know, if your life is in danger, we'll, you know, you can have your refugee status, but don't go around, don't fuck it up.
Yeah, keep your head down, son.
It's the equivalent of being like, you know, I'm on hard times. Can I crash on your couch for a couple of nights? And you're like, yeah, sure. And then you get up in the middle of the night to find me pissing in your cutlery drawer. Like, what the fuck are you doing? It's not okay. It's not okay for me to piss in your cutlery drawer.
What are you doing? I'm crashing here for a couple of days. What are you doing up at 2 in the morning? I'm here to see what the fucking noise is.
The noise is me pissing in your cutlery drawer, Adam.
Good night.
I did not. I think we agreed this was my kitchen time.
Holy shit.
I just, you know, it's only so far you can be liberal before you're like, no, hang on. I support your human right to be safe, but I don't support your human right to shag the sheep and attempt to rape women.
Yeah.
Okay, next. This story freaks me out, but I'm glad it's not going to actually affect us. I say us in me and you and Ireland and stuff, but it's going to affect us. As in, you know, the planet. But I don't live on the same planet as most people, so fuck them.
True.
Have you ever heard of cicadas? The insect known as a cicada.
I have, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, of course I have. Says you.
Big, big, giant, ugly fuckers.
Yeah.
Right. Now, I remember seeing on a documentary years ago that this thing has a life cycle of 17 years. Right.
Okay.
The eggs, or they go dormant under the ground for 17 years, and then they come up all together to breed. Right?
Okay.
So trillions of these cicadas have been underground, and they're about to emerge. They've been underground for 17 years. So here's the story. Over the next few weeks, along the East Coast and the Midwest, the cicadas will emerge from the ground, shed their skins, and partake in a month-long mating ritual, making quite a scene. Climbing trees and singing mating songs as loud as 100 decibels, the same intensity as a jackhammer. That's just one of them.
No. All together.
No. That's just one of them.
No, one cicada... No, one cicada is not going to be the noise of a jackhammer.
Cicada is the noise of a jackhammer. That's what I just read out to you.
that's what you heard when you heard yourself saying it. I'm telling you, it's when they all come up and you're going, they all sound like a jackhammer.
Adam, I was woken up this morning by what I thought was roadworks. It was just a cicada out there. One cicada was out there in the car park having a bit of a sing-song. Right, so when I tell you one of these things sounds like a jackhammer, and there's trillions of them.
Right, go on.
I'm not a full-time cicadiologist, but you know, it's a pretty big event. I mean, we're talking about trillions of cicadas that are going to be emerging, singing, calling, finding mates in your backyard, says Dr. Jessica Ware, an entomologist in the American Museum of Natural History. That's who she is.
Yeah.
There are over a dozen known broods of cicadas in the US, categorized by when they emerge together from the ground. Brood X is this one.
Uh-huh.
Is considered one of the largest and makes its appearance like clockwork every 17 years.
Wow.
The 17 years thing is mental.
You say, right? It's quite precise?
Well, here's why I find it fascinating. is because evolution, right?
Yeah.
So evolution has meant that humans, you know, the gestation period for a human is 9 months.
Yeah.
Okay. The gestation, so like, so we've evolved to the point where the quickest that we've made it so far is 9 months.
Yeah.
Okay. Other animals take longer. So elephants is like 2 years.
I don't know.
I think it's 2 years. Mice is like 9 days, right?
Yeah.
So mice have gotten that quick at it because their life is so short and they can, it's become quicker all the time,
mm-hmm.
right? Because there's so many predators, so they've got to be able to breed quick and breed fast and get it done and let everybody breed.
Yeah.
Okay. So it took, I don't know if it's taken them 17 times longer to get where they need to be because they're only breeding every 17 years. So, like, are they moving at 17 times slower or 170 times slower than, like, their closest insect relative? Like, at what point in evolution are we seeing them at?
Well, see,
you know, and how and why would a species develop a 17-year cycle?
See, it doesn't improve with every generation, because like you said yourself, mice are 9 days. Okay, yeah. So if you think mice have been here for a long time, so you think that if they have a new generation every 9 days,
yeah,
that they should have advanced to, like, you know, dog status where they're actually making their own cheese, kind of thing. You know, they're separating the curds and whey because they've had so many generations.
Uh-huh.
But evolution is based, not based, but it includes your environment as well. So mice are kind of staying the way they are because humans are still around. They're still dropping food. They're building houses. So all mice have to do is find that food and dig their way through the house.
Okay.
Do you know what I mean? So
yeah.
These insects, they probably are working a bit slow. Like, they probably get up for 17 years and all of a sudden there's a car and they go, Jesus Christ, what happened to the horses? So I'm sure they do have moments of, Jesus, Dad didn't tell us about this kind of stuff.
It's like being in a car for 7 years, waking up and going, where's the beef?
No one eats beef anymore. Everyone's vegan.
Okay, well, I suppose we'll get some answers because, okay, so this brood X, as it's called, comes out every 17 years like clockwork.
Mm-hmm.
Dr. Ware goes on to say, I think it's not that the cicadas know anything per se. I think part of it is hardwired. So there's a series of biochemical cascades, hormones that rise and fall and set off a trigger. And if you have a certain hormone level and the temperature of the soil is 64 degrees, it's just time to go. So it's all like a chemical thing within the cicadas, and because it comes back to like basic thing, like, well, like when you plant a seed, how does that seed know which way is up and which way is down?
So
how does it know which way to send the roots and send the shoot?
I think
it's buried, like it's buried under.
Yeah, I think
gravity.
No, no, there is something. Oh no, what it is there's a part of it. Even if you put a seed upside down.
Yes.
Like the roots will actually go up, but then they will turn to go down, and the stalk part will go down and then turn to go up, because something about it says I need to go where the rain and the sun are.
You know, I get that, but you would bury most seeds in the soil, so as far as that seed knows, any direction could be up.
Yeah, but something in it. When it kind of first initially breaks, it just goes and just, you know, bits go everywhere. But I'm saying, after a while, the root, it actually turns to go down and the stalk will turn to go up, no matter which way you put the seed.
No, I get exactly what you're saying. I know what physically happens. But how does it know? Because, like, the root will come out, but how does the root know, oh, hang on, I'm going in the wrong direction?
All right, yeah. I'm guessing it's probably maybe the heat or the water. You know, it senses that it's hotter above, or that the rain is draining down through the soil, so I'll follow where the water is coming from.
Yeah, I call shenanigans on seeds. That's all I'm saying. Once the cicadas do emerge, time is not on their side. They have a short clock, around 3 or 4 weeks, to find a mate and lay their eggs before they die. So they spend like pretty much their entire juvenile stage, 17 years underground, and then you've got 3 or 4 weeks to get all the jobs done you need to get done.
Just like human life.
Just like human life.
Yeah, you think, I'm leaving the life, man. I'm leaving the life. What age are you? I'm 40. Dude, you should probably sort yourself out. Nah, I got a month. I got a month's rent. It's grand.
Yeah. What's exciting for cicadas may be frightening for some humans, but the doctor says there's no need to worry. They don't bite or sting. They actually have no interest in those at all. They don't pose any harm to humans. They don't even really pose that much harm to your garden. Their goal is really to find each other, to mate, and then to make the next generations of cicadas. Even though they don't pose a threat to us, humans do pose a threat to them. Urban sprawl and overdevelopment have destroyed whole cicada populations, and because of the warming climate, periodical cicadas are emerging anywhere from a week to a month earlier than they used to decades ago. Ware said it might have to shorten, it might even shorten the amount of years they stay underground. So, yeah, they're just all come at the same time because it's, you know, they're like a seed. It's, they're like a breeding seed, I suppose.
Yeah.
It's just it's all chemical and it's all temperature and it's all, you know.
It's pretty fascinating.
Yeah. Well, look,
the natural world.
It is, you know, because also, do you know what I only learned recently?
What?
Hibernating animals don't fucking hibernate. I was always told, you know, they spend, you know, the 3 or 4 or 5 months sleeping. No, they don't. They're up and about and doing shit.
Yeah.
They just don't hunt or forage in the winter because it's harder to do. So they don't waste the energy on doing it. But they're still up and about and doing shit.
Yeah, sorry, I dropped my pen.
And I feel entirely, utterly betrayed by whatever education system allowed me to believe that for so long.
You think a bear sleeps
yeah.
for 4 or 5 months?
Because that sounds amazing. Enough. Like, even as a kid, I used to be like, I want to grow up to be a bear. Because yeah. you get to just roam around the land and do whatever you want, and then you get 4 months in bed. Fucking hey, man.
But it's...
swimming and all the fresh salmon you can eat.
Amazing. But it's how oak trees are grown. It's from squirrels. Squirrels get all the acorns,
mm-hmm.
and they bury them, but in all different places.
Yeah.
And they only find about 40% of what they bury. Because, like, either snow or, you know, things have moved or whatever, or they just can't find them. And so whatever they don't find grow up to be oak trees.
There you go.
They are.
There you go. Coincidentally, that's how squirrels are made. Because oak trees go around and they drop squirrel seeds and they forget where they put them. And then 70%... are found. And the other 30% become squirrel trees. Squirrels.
Okay. Great.
You can't that's a disprove fab story. What I've saying, though. You can't disprove what I've just said, though, can you?
No. You know, I'm not even going to. I've tried to explain hibernation to you. I've tried to explain how a seed grows.
No. I know how a seed grows. I just don't know why a seed grows. It's the existential question.
Jesus, why is Gamora? God.
That's all I have. That's all my stories.
Is it? Oh. okay, you have a lovely apartment.
I do.
Now, I'm sure you keep it nice and clean. Mm-hmm. But I'm thinking, what if you want a day off? Okay? What if you want to take your... What if you want to just relax? Well, I have the solution for you, my good friend. Naked Cleaners Ireland. Offering...
Yeah, sorry, go ahead.
Oh, man, you've already inquired.
Yeah.
Offering £150 an hour to dust and vacuum nude. I should have guessed. I don't know why I thought you're going to love this. It's like, what do you mean? Do I like it? I'm invested in it.
Here's
they're
the
coming
thing,
over Saturday.
Right, so I'm... Okay, so here's the thing. Right.
Yeah.
I've looked at this venture from a few different angles.
Right? I bet you have.
One as a customer.
Yes.
Yeah. Here's the thing: like €150 to watch somebody naked clean your apartment.
Yeah.
I have a few problems with that. Right.
Yeah.
One is the price. We've already discussed that. Why would I spend all that amount of money for something that I don't need to spend all that money on?
True.
Right. However, I get that with this particular service, the cleaning is not particularly what you're paying for. You're paying for the naked person doing the cleaning. Okay? But then, like, you just do you follow them from room to room or just stand in the corner and watch them do stuff naked?
So here's the thing: if I'm paying for a naked cleaner, I'm actually expecting the place to look spotless. It's like,
of course you are. Of course you are. Of course you are. This is why me and you could never live together. Right?
But it's just because what I'm paying for is it's 150 quid. Yeah, okay, whatever. I want this place clean, yeah? I'm naked. That's wonderful. I want it spotless. I'll be back in an hour. Don't steal anything. I want it clean. You're not going to watch? Clean my fucking house.
As if we were living together, you'd be like, Matt, I hired the naked cleaner. I'd be like, sweet, happy birthday to me. And you'd be like, I'm going out for an hour. I've got shit to do. And I'd be like, well, can I just sit here and watch her clean? Yeah, but she's got to clean. If I come back here and those fucking skirting boards aren't done, I want a refund. And I'd be like, oh, don't you worry. She'll be cleaning the skirting boards. Don't you fucking worry.
Oh, the skirting boards. I love that you went there. Because that is such a detail. Just go, what's that? What's that? Dust on the skirting board. Lick that off.
If I go into that fridge and test and check the crisper drawer and it hasn't been wiped out, I'm going to be very fucking upset. But I find it weird that you would hire somebody to just sit and watch, because you would, like, obviously you're not hiring the person for the cleaning, right? As much as we joke, you're hiring a naked person to clean your house. You're not hiring the naked cleaner, right? Because you could just hire a cleaner, and then, you know, it would be creepier. Would it be creepier just to hire a cleaner and watch them clean your house?
Probably. I'm expecting the naked person is expecting you to kind of ogle them.
Yeah, well, that's what I mean. So, like, do you get off on the knowledge that there's a naked person cleaning your house? Or do you actually just follow them room to room? And do you stand and watch them? Do you sit and watch them? Do you strike up a conversation? Is it weird? Do you want them to ignore you? I don't know. Like, pretend you're invisible? I don't know. It's not like I fantasized about it. I just have thought about it.
Yeah. Okay. Because when I read the story, I was like, because there's a whole rules thing, which I probably get into. But I probably would just start chatting. I think so. How did you get into this, Steve?
Yeah, and you see, it's never a Steve, right? No. Here's the other way I looked into it, right? Yeah, like I heard about this when the lockdowns are happening. Like, well, I'm not working right now, and I can clean, you know.
Yeah.
And I thought, for €150 an hour, I can clean naked, you know. Because it's a minimum 2 hours booked, is one of the terms and conditions that I remember they had. Minimum 2 hours booked. So that's 300 quid. So even if you only did like two or three of them a week, you're pretty comfortable, you know.
Yeah.
But here's the thing, is that you don't get the €150. You get €50 an hour.
And the agency gets the rest.
And the agency gets the rest. Now, I'm all for agencies making money because they're doing the advertising, they're doing the network, and they're getting the work in. But if that isn't, you know, I mean, that's more extortionate than a pimp.
Well, look, let's see what's said.
From what I remember.
There's no other cleaning company service like ours, reads the About Us section on Naked Cleaners Ireland website. They certainly have a point. Naked Cleaners Ireland, as you may have guessed from the name, is Ireland's first and only fully nude home cleaning service. Available in all 32 counties of Ireland, the cleaning company aims to provide the highest level of service available. Completely in the nip, of course. Founded in 2020 by the suspiciously named Hand Brothers, the company is constantly recruiting for new nude cleaners who are willing to carry out a number of mundane household chores for their clients, such as dusting, vacuuming, making beds, sweeping, and cleaning windows. Entirely au naturel. So yeah, they're not really scrubbing the dishes, are they? They're not like waxing the floors.
No, it's... You know, look, I'm all for it if it's consenting and all that kind of stuff and everything's legal and there's nothing untoward, and, you know, that's fine. I've no problem with the concept of it. Yeah. I just, as a customer, I don't know if I could sit there and just watch somebody clean. And then as a cleaner, I don't know how I'd feel about somebody just sitting there watching me clean while I was in the nude. And do they have secret cameras set up? You know, are they recording you? Are they... You know, are they going to try? Because you're in their home, so you're on their turf. So if they try something, can you really do anything against it?
Well, what are you going to do? Run out naked?
Going to run out naked, or if they make a passage, you put your hands on it. Are you there naked cleaning with a chaperone?
I guess they must be kind of protected in some way. But
the only protection that I think you would have is that, as far as I know, you have to pay with a credit card through their website. I'm open to correction. I could be wrong, but I think you pay the agency, and they're protected so that, you know, they obviously get their cut. But also maybe the cleaner's protected because if anything is to happen, then you've got full traceable records with a credit card.
Yeah.
You know, unless they use a prepaid credit card, which is untraceable, then I sound like I've thought about it an awful lot.
Yeah, it sounds like you're almost like just had a go.
Yeah. To be honest with you, I genuinely did apply to be a cleaner, and I got no response back.
That's weird.
It's not, because I said I was a man. I didn't attach any pictures of myself, so it's not like, you know, they know what I look like. And then they went, no, better not. But I think it was because I was a male. I was a male person applying for it. Like, obviously, there's a higher demand for naked female cleaners, because I guarantee you, if you go on to Grindr or one of those sites, you'll find somebody willing to clean your apartment for free.
Yeah.
Naked. You know, because the internet is the internet.
True.
But, you know, I've no problem with the service or the concept of it. I don't know. Like, it would just be weird. Like the whole concept of hiring a cleaner is like, I've done it a couple of times where, like, I've been working solid for, like, whatever number weeks or whatever, the place just got really, really kind of untidy, needed to clean. I was like, well, I'm going to be off now for a week, so, you know, hire a cleaner, you know, and then I'll leave the person at it for like 2 or 3 hours, go back in the house, be nice and clean.
Yeah.
And it will have cost me whatever it will have cost me, and that's fine. It's not like, I'm not one of those people that's like, oh, it's the cleaner's day off kind of thing. It's like, no, I'll let you get on top of me and I'll hire the cleaning company.
Yeah.
You know, but would I spend the extra 120 euro on, like, just because they want to take their clothes off, you know what I mean, because I want them to take their clothes off? It's just, I don't know, it's weird.
It is weird. I think it hits on it here. Often two is better than one, and Naked Cleaners Ireland have thought of that, offering a duo service where you can choose two of their cleaners to come by and get the job done faster. It's the interesting proposition, though. We can't help but feel the only thing more awkward than cleaning someone's gaff completely nude would be shuffling by another fully nude stranger, eyes to the floor, as you go to grab the domestos from the kitchen.
Well, you see, I can guarantee you how this offer came about is because they were inundated with applications from women who were like, yeah, for 150 euro an hour, I'll clean naked. So they were like, well, we don't have enough work for all of these single cleaners, but we can double them up, triple them up, and many be like, oh, two naked women in me kitchen. Fantastic.
I know, it's just weird. There's also a number of party packages, up to two packages if you opt for the duo services, we guess, which includes the option of having one of their naked cleaners work at your birthday party, stag do or hen do, cleaning as they go and serving drinks while scantily clad or nude. An extra glamour with us, this is something you need to consider if you want an amazing stag or hen do. The service has even gotten the seal of approval from everyone's favourite TV couple, Ruth Langsford and Eamon Holmes, who filmed a segment with some of the naked cleaners for their show to Do the Right Thing last year. Before you get any sorted ideas, there are some strict rules involved in availing of the service. First things first, you'll need to provide your own cleaning products, which is only fair, we think. I don't think that. You'll also have to give
50 euro an hour. No, you can fucking, you know, bring your own lemon pledge, you cunt.
Lemon pledge. You'll also have to... I want lavender. I want fucking lavender. You'll also have to give your cleaner 24 hours notice, we're guessing, to allow for the necessary preparation work to be done. Other do's and don'ts, there is to be strictly no touching, no filming or photography, no inviting friends over to watch or asking for extras, and there can't be any pets around. You absolutely cannot contact your cleaner in private, however, you are more than welcome to chat to them whilst they clean around you.
Okay, so again, all sensible rules, I get it.
Yeah.
Right. How do you prove that somebody isn't recording you?
But
again, for the likes of the stag do and the hen do, I reckon there's a massive danger there of sexual assault. You know, because years ago, for a couple of weekends, I worked as a strippogram.
Yeah.
And you were not allowed in to do your show unless you had at least two bodyguards slash chaperones. And that was for me. That was a dude going into like a hen party. And they get handsy. They get handsier at a hen party than they ever will at a stag party.
Well, of course they do, because men can handle themselves.
Glad you said that. It wasn't me that said that.
Whatever. I got a Caitlyn Jenner story coming up next.
Oh, I can't wait. So, but like the women, there was always like at least three with the women. And there was two with me. You know, I did like two shows. I did like a 40th in a GAA club and a 24th somewhere else. And I was like, I'm not doing this shit anymore. So this is back in my 20s. I was like, I'm just not doing that anymore. But so like, would you need a chaperone? Like you'd have to have chaperones with you for like the stag or hen party cleanings. And also like either one of our stag dudes would have been immeasurably different if one of us had said, just come over to the place, I'll play some poker, there's a naked cleaner coming, and we'll have like chips and dips, and we might get a takeaway later on, and then shall we hit town afterwards? And it'd be just going, what now?
Sorry, who's going to be there? I think Kelly and Brian. No. Who's going to be there? Yeah.
I mean, it'd be the weirdest stag do and the cleanest skirting boards.
You're playing. Town. Just going to sit around and play poker and say, clean those boards. Get the fuck down. Shut up.
Yeah. I want you to clean specifically the skirting boards and the tops of the kitchen presses. That's what those are specifically two things I want you to focus on.
Top to tails. She knows.
Yeah.
Okay, let's play some poker. Eyes down. Who's looking at the cards?
It's just bizarre. It's as bizarre as me saying I'm going to launch Naked Bingo, and the only thing that's naked about it is me. I'm on stage calling out the numbers naked.
You know, someone would go, "Oh, I'm going to Naked Bingo. Oh, do we all go naked? Yeah, we all go naked." It's just there's Matt naked and a table of six naked, and then the rest of the people are just like, "What are you doing? It's Naked Bingo. We thought everyone was naked." He's naked. The caller is naked.
the caller's naked. But I love the enthusiasm.
Glad.
Yeah.
Caitlyn Jenner.
Go.
Believes trans girls shouldn't be allowed to compete in female sports. So Caitlyn Jenner has copped backlash for voicing her opposition to trans girls competing in girls' sports. The former Olympian and transgender icon recently announced her bid to become California's governor and has already found herself in political, social and ideological storm. Jenner explained she believes it is unfair if a boy who is transitioning to become a girl is allowed to play in female sport. That's why I oppose biological boys who are trans competing in girls' sports in school, said Jenner. It just isn't fair. And we had to protect girls in sports in our schools. She was asked about whether her stance... That was actually her.
That was amazing. I was like, when did we get the audio of Caitlyn Jenner? That's fucking amazing. I was surprised it wasn't like, hey, I'm a Caitlyn Jenner at the start of it. It's fucking amazing. Brilliant.
She was asked about whether her stance would affect people's ideas or idea of gender identity. However, she avoided it and walked away. Jenner posted the interview on Twitter, and while she insisted she didn't expect to be asked the question, she stands by her answer. The issue of trans people playing in sport has become a massive topic in America, with several states signing or proposing bills that strip away their rights to compete. At least 30 states are trying to limit trans people's abilities, despite the lack of widespread evidence that this problem is even an issue. Jenner has since been called out by transgender groups for potentially rolling back years of advocacy work. It kind of goes on. So, it's the same story all the way.
A couple of sentences ago, there isn't widespread proof to suggest that it's not a problem, or that it is a problem.
The issue of trans people is massive. With several states signing opposing bills, take with the right. At least 30 states are trying to limit trans people's abilities, despite the lack of widespread evidence that this problem is even an issue.
So there's a lack of widespread evidence. Okay, so here's the reason why there's a lack of widespread evidence is because this is a relatively new issue that sport is having, particularly in America. You know, it doesn't seem to be a problem in other places around the world. This seems to be a recent problem in America. So that's why there's a lack of widespread evidence. Right? Mm. So like, what I take from that is that it's a liberal-sided article to be like, you know, they should be allowed to do whatever. There's no way you can train as a male athlete and then decide to identify yourself as a woman and think that you're not going to have an advantage over a female athlete, right?
Yeah.
Unless you're an Olympic power walker and you're going up against fucking Ronda Rousey in the UFC, right? Then you're at a disadvantage, right?
Yeah.
But this is why, I don't mean serious as in, like, you know, reputation-wise. I mean, like, serious in, like, physical, like, serious physical sports. Like the UFC, don't put male and female in the same ring. You know, they won't even put transgender fighters in there with male fighters. Because it's just, I mean, to think that there isn't a difference between a physiological, biological male and a physiological, biological female is insane.
Yeah.
And to say, well, no, there's no difference. For, like, since, you know, competitive sports and records have begun, there's been a separation between male and female.
Yeah.
And now you're seeing that they're seeing trends of records, you know, kind of level out because there's more transgender athletes competing against women. Do you know what I mean? My personal thing is that it should, you know, there's nothing that's ever black and white. There's always a grey area. So rather than have, like, there should be a male, I'm getting all mixed up in words, male sports, female sports, transgender sports.
Transgender sports.
So, like, you have male league, you have male soccer teams,
mm-hmm.
female soccer teams, have trans soccer teams. Have trans soccer teams compete against trans soccer teams. You can't have a more level playing field than that, as far as I'm concerned.
I suppose so.
You know? And, look, it's bizarre. I mean, particularly within sports categories. Because, like, if you go to running or swimming, like swimming, for example.
Okay.
It's hugely physically demanding sport.
Mm-hmm.
And you got to train and you got to have, you know, so much cardio involved. And of course you need strength, you need stamina. Like it's one of the most physically demanding things you can do. So a female swimmer is not going to be able to keep up with a male swimmer. And I'm talking like top Olympic levels, you know, like world record setting levels. A female is not going to be able to keep up with a male. So therefore a male swimmer who identifies as male his whole life and enters the Olympics and then is like, well, actually identify as female, so I'm going to go into the female category. He's going to mop the floor with everybody there and walk away with all the medals. And that's not fair.
Yeah.
You know, that's just my view on it. It's like, no, I've no problem with anybody being trans. That's not what it's about. It's
the competing one physiological being against another physiological being.
Yeah.
Yeah. I hear you. I feel the same. I mean,
you know, that's just my thing on it. And so for the record, I agree with Caitlyn Jenner.
I wonder would there be a difference of opinion for boys transitioning to girls and then wanting to compete with girls. People think, well, like you say, he's going to mop the floor. But for girls transitioning to boys, would people have the opinion of saying, well, let them compete with the boys because they're transitioning and it's not so much of a threat?
Well, not necessarily, because then... No, I think... Because then it makes me sound like, oh, well, I'm afraid of the threat of strong female women. Which female women are strong, the same thing. But like strong, like women are like competitive. That's not what I'm against. I know other people might say that as well. But I think I personally, and I don't even have a dog in this fight. I don't even watch sport. But no, I think so. You know, you have female, male, and then trans. You know.
Yeah.
I don't understand why they're trying to compete in whatever category they want to compete in. I think if you want to be trans, that's fine. If you're trans, no problem. More power to you. You do you. But you took yourself out of the male category, for example, right? Mm-hmm. Male, female, trans. You took yourself out of the male category and, you know, you want to be in the female category, that's fine. But there's still physiological differences with you. Go be in the trans league.
All right,
I think it will eventually lead to, you know, like trans leagues or, you know, trans categories or trans whatever, but it's something that needs to be, you know, looked at. And I don't think that sporting bodies should just bow down to, you know, public pressure over it or peer pressure over it, you know.
I don't think they will, because you probably find that other sporting people, as much as they will support someone's right to choose how they want to live their life, when it comes to competitive sport, like you've seen, even through COVID, you see that sport is just a huge industry.
Mm-hmm.
Like there's too much money behind it, to whatever, like people are just watching everything, and for people, like for some people to kind of come in and go, I'm a boy now, or I'm a girl now, I'm doing this, you're just having like everyone behind you is kind of going, nah, son, no.
We're gonna
do a special race for you. I don't want to be segregated. You'll have your special race or you'll have no race. What do you want? Mm-hmm. I'll have a race, please. There you go.
Yeah.
No, well, I think you're right. I think it'll end that way.
Yeah. This is me, you know. Caitlyn Jenner, your impression was fucking spot on, man. It was amazing.
Yeah. There's not that much it takes quotes from other people, but kind of saying the same thing, and other people kind of supporting people's right to choose, but that it gets kind of weird when you have to, you know, things have to be reshaped or rethought out or all that.
It's
kind of
just
thing.
That, and you know, I might offend somebody saying this, but at the end of the day, it's 100% a choice to be trans.
Mm-hmm.
So, and it's very easy for a person, if they were, you know, had ulterior motives, very easy for somebody to say, no, now I am trans, I identify as female.
Yeah.
It's very easy for somebody to train for so many years as a male athlete and then go, oh no, do you know what? I identify as female now, so I'm going to compete in the female stuff.
Yeah.
You know, and that's what I don't agree with. Do you know what I mean? It's like, I don't know, if there's a study there to show, or there's evidence or proof to show that if somebody transitioned early in life and has actually been living and training as a female, and now they want to go in to, you know, female competitive sports,
mm-hmm.
then show me the evidence that, you know, the hormones they've taken and the training that they have puts them on par more with the female athletes rather than the male athletes. Then I have no problem with you know, with a person like that moving into female sports. And I say that as if I'm in charge and I have any call to it. But, you know, that would be my understanding of it. Now, but again, it goes back to what you said, that article said, the lack of widespread evidence. Of course, there's a lack of widespread evidence because it's a new problem. So come back in 20 years' time when they've had, you know, dedicated teams studying this, and maybe the Olympics put some money into studying this, or different sports bodies or whoever looks into the actual physiology of it all, and then says, no, well, actually, you know, after 20 years, there's no real problem. Then I go, Graham, well, I have to go with that then.
Yeah.
You know. But my opinion is, no, go. It's going to sound so fucking white supremacist. Go play your own game. You know what I mean? It's like, we have our game, they have their game, you have your game. You know.
Go play your own ball sport. Or do you have any? All right.
Like, if it's an exhibition match, we'll all get on the pitch. You know what I mean?
You know what we're going to play? Snooker. Okay? We can all play that together. That's where it ends. Snooker or darts? Pub games.
There we go. Is that it? Is that all of our stories?
Yep.
Well, we do some good news then.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, good news.
This is the part of the show where we talk about happy and chirpier stuff. There won't be stories about a pervert running around in a buff. So here's just a few things that we won't talk about in this segment. War and hunger, and the language won't be vulgar. Politics and naked chicks and men doing stuff with their dicks. So sit back, relax, and kick off your shoes. And for once, let's just have some good news.
Good news.
Yeah.
It's good news for everybody except you, because I know how much you love pollution and killing the turtles.
What?
I love how I get that reaction. Like, I could call you anything. Like, look at this horrible murdering rapist. Huh? You'd be like, huh? Me?
You don't like me?
Colgate Palmolive wants toothpaste tubes to meet the same third-party recycling standards that we've achieved with other stuff. So what they've done is Colgate unveils recyclable toothpaste tubes and offers the tech free to its competitors.
Well, there you are. I think that's now, the clincher, that it's offering tech free to tech. Going, look, join in, hop in. Now I know your head's going, yeah, you know where they're offering the tech to their competitors? So they can make the money and then they own their competitors. That's exactly what you're thinking, isn't it? You're going to ruin good news if you keep doing this.
That's not what I was thinking at all. It actually reminded me of when Volvo invented the three-point seatbelt and they just gave the patent, they just gave it out. They just gave it to all the other car manufacturers because they figured saving lives is more important than profit.
Yeah.
And it's very seldom that this happens. Where, right, like, a company is like, you know, we found something. We think it's going to, now it's, look, I'm going to slightly run good news because I know it's just a fucking PR stunt. But still, the results is positive. The results are positive. So Colgate Palmolive has revealed the nation's first recyclable toothpaste tube, the result of 5 years of research, and will be immediately offered to rival companies to help reduce landfill waste. So, this is an Australian article, okay? Mm-hmm. So in Australia, every year, how many toothpaste tubes do you think end up in landfill every year, just in Australia?
2.5 million.
Oh, not even close. Not even close. 50 million tubes.
Fuck.
Ending up in landfills annually in Australia.
Well, yeah, of course there is.
Sorry to all of our Australian listeners, and I know there's a good few of you.
Just like, what's the population of Australia, Adam? About 10, is it? It's like, are you right in the head?
Well, hang on, does Kylie, Crocodile Dundee. Yeah.
There's all the Avenue and Home and Away. There's all the people on the beach. There's a Sydney Opera House. And then there's the sheep herders and the Aborigines, but they don't brush their teeth. 2.5 million?
Yeah, 1-2, skip a few, 9,900.
What a stupid guess.
So, the new toothpaste adds to the company's global target to create 100% recyclable, reusable, or compostable packaging by 2025. Look, I mean, it's good news because it's all moving in the right direction. Because, like, no matter how much of a conservative or a denier or whatever you are of global warming and you know, pollution, and the evidence is there. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's just, there's massive, like, I think there's some scary statistic that by the year 2050, there's going to be more plastic in the ocean than fish.
Fucking hell.
That's only 30 years away. Like, you know, if you think about, like, if I tell you to think of 10 years ago, you're going to automatically mentally go to the 90s.
Shut up. I hate it when you do that because I do. I do. Yeah, we've already had the same thing. God, that was 15 years ago. Adam, that was 25 years ago. You shut your shut your fucking mouth.
It is, though. Like, but like, and like, so that's only 30 years away, you know. So there's going to be more plastic in the ocean than fish, which is a scary thing. You know, I'm all for any efforts to kind of reduce, you know.
Yeah. Well, I'm really looking forward to the year 2030 because the whole world seems to have kind of said 2030 is our year for reducing things by like 50% or like really cutting things down by like 75% or all this kind of stuff. So I'm really looking forward to seeing where we are in 2030 and then just calling people out and then like things aren't fucking changing. It's like, change the fucking world now. Change the fucking thing. Change the fucking thing.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, look, I mean, see, I keep having these ideas out throughout my life.
I know.
And then I never...
God help me, I know.
And then I never do anything with them because I don't have the know-how, right? Like, uh-huh. I remember years ago, I said to somebody, you know, we have like wireless communication, you know, like mobile phones and radio and all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. And, you know, like there's microwaves and there's light waves and radiation waves and all these things we can't see. But they're there and we take advantage of them.
Yes.
So why has nobody invented wireless electricity? Now, initially, well, people go, don't be stupid, because electricity needs to travel through something.
Yeah.
But there is technology being developed. It actually already exists. for wireless, like completely wireless charging. So like your phone in the middle of the room, and there's these things around the room, and whatever way they interact with your receiver, it charges it completely wireless. It's wireless electricity. So what I'm going, where I'm going with this rant is, I had the idea years ago to just make everything recyclable. And yet, you know, it's only coming to fruition now because it's trendy, you know. But I had the idea years ago to make everything recyclable and to eliminate global warming. That was all my idea years ago. And nobody would listen to me, Adam. Not even Al Gore.
Well,
right? He made a fucking documentary about it.
I think you can just say, I had an idea of making everything recyclable and, you know, save global warming. What? Well, lots of people had, you know, the hope and the... No, I had the idea of it. I said we should recycle everything and stop global warming. What? And now everyone's just copping onto it. I should have spoke up sooner.
We had a company years ago, me and my brother and my dad, and it was a stock-taking company and like a consultancy company for hospitality.
Yeah.
And I used to hate going into storerooms because they were always unorganized. You had to organize them first, and then you had to count everything, and you'd always miss one, or you'd always find something else hidden in behind a corner. It was always the worst job ever. And so I said, well, why can't like somebody just invent something that just sits in the room and through, like, I don't know, lasers or waves or something, just like gathers all the information of everything in the room and then put it in a computer, right? And everyone was like, that's never going to exist, except for Amazon now have shops. Have you seen these? You walk in with your phone and your Amazon account,
okay?
And you scan. When you walk in, you scan, you go beep, you scan, you pick up a basket. That basket scans onto your phone, your account, and you walk around, you just pick stuff off the shelf, and you put it in your basket. Immediately, the second you've taken it off the shelf, the store knows it's now missing this pen. And not only that, but like when it goes into your basket, it goes, oh, Matt's bought this pen, right? And you go around the shop, you do all your shopping, it goes in, you bag it up and you leave. There's no self-checkouts, there's no checkouts of any kind, there's no cash registers, it just all gets sent directly to your Amazon bill, to your credit card or your PayPal or whatever, and it's paid for immediately. And it's all done through my idea that I had like 20 years ago and just didn't have the know-how. And yeah, here I am sitting here like a chump. And Jeff Bezos is going to be the world's first trillionaire. So, do you know what? I did invent recycling.
But hang on. The thing that they're using is just like a stock counter, but it didn't count the initial stock. Someone had to like take the initial box of pens that said, you know, 20 box and that 20 and go, okay, add 20. They still had to count the pens.
Sure, Adam.
Sorry, the only reason I know this is because we did it in Slane, where you had to count the beer mats and you had to count the shot glasses and count the glasses and count the other glasses, the tumblers, and you had to count them all. But now once you beeped them and someone bought them, it took them off the thing. So if it said 20, you know, in all of our stock, someone bought one, beep, went down to 19.
Yeah, but if I'm in shopping one of these Amazon shops and I pick up the pen off the shelf and I don't put it into my basket and I put it somewhere else in the store still recognizes that it still has that pen and that nobody's taken it out of the store.
That's still the same as the beep thing.
It's not.
It is.
It's a step.
It's a process. It didn't beep into the basket. So therefore it hasn't left.
No, but I also didn't put it in my pocket and try and walk out with it. This is the thing, is that the store still knows physically what's in the store. So even if I didn't beep it into my basket and tried to sneaky put it in my pocket and walk out with it, Amazon would still know, no, that pen's left. And not only is that pen left, but that pen is in his pocket and he didn't scan it.
Okay.
That's technology. I fucking invented everything, Adam.
Okay.
I'm going to make the prediction that before the year 2030, we'll have our first alien visitor. Like, public. Like, we're allowed to know about it, alien visitor. By 2030.
Yeah.
And they're going to bring us technology which is going to blow our minds. That's 2030. You mark it. We'll still be doing this fucking podcast by then, I guarantee.
Fucking sure, I know we will. Look, I'm not going to take a note of that. Can someone else, one of our Patreons, just take a note of that, please? Cause, and get back to us on this day in 9 years' time and just say, lads, Matt's full of shit, isn't he?
On May the 4th be with you, by the way. On May the 4th, 2021, I predicted that by the year 2030, we will have been visited by aliens. And it'll be very public. It'll be very out there. We'll all know about it.
Well, I look forward to it.
Yeah. Yep.
University football team.
Okay, just before we move on to your university football team.
What the fucking shit?
Just before we move on to... Sorry. If that happens, then you and everybody else has to believe everything I've ever told you.
No. No, I'm not doing that.
That's a bit unfair.
I love you. Mm-hmm. I'm not doing that. Because between now and then, you're going to say, Adam likes to fuck rabbits. And I'll like, no, that's horseshit. You go, can't wait for 2030. I don't care about 2030. I don't fuck rabbits.
So basically what you're saying is that you're willing to believe that within 10 years we're going to be visited by aliens. Because otherwise you would just go, yeah, okay, whatever.
No. Because I also know you. And as unlucky as you are, and as a bit like unfortunate times that you have fallen upon, sometimes the sun does shine on a dog's ass, and that would be the time where it comes gleaming. And I'll be left going, Adam, do you fuck rabbits? Apparently I do, yeah.
Yeah, well done. Okay, yeah. Nicely put, counsellor. Well done.
University football team walk home female students after rape day hoax. Did you hear about rape day?
No, why is rape day a thing?
Well, exactly. This is what this guy thought. He said, that shouldn't, it's a joke. It was like, oh, I think it was, what's it, April 24th. Oh, it's National Rape Day. And this guy went, let's not do that to women. Let's not put them in fucking fear. So this is what he did. A university football team are being hailed as heroes after acting as chaperones for any female students too scared to walk home alone at night after seeing posts about a hoax called National Rape Day. Warnings were issued by schools and universities as the abhorrent hoax swept across social media, with some videos claiming sexual assault would be legal on 24th of April. Women were urged to protect themselves in the event that anyone had taken the hoax seriously. And Ben Marrett, a 22-year-old student, sat furiously racking his brains for ideas to help his female friends. Determined to do something to protect fellow female students when they attended parties at the weekend, Ben enlisted the help of 20 of his football teammates to act as chaperones to ensure women got home safely. Together with his friends, the business and human resource management student operated a text service from 9 p.m. on Saturday night to 5 a.m. on Sunday morning, where women could request a chaperone, helping 30 students make it home safely. The team now hopes to inspire more sports societies across our other universities to follow suit. The young men won praise from dozens of girls and were described as angels, with a mum of one of the female students cried with happiness over their act of kindness.
Noble gestures?
Yes.
However, how many of them walked a woman home and went, so you're here safe? What the fuck?
It's possible that if a girl, especially like I just broke up and I need a chaperone, the lads went, I'll take care of that. It's like, you're gonna walk me home? I'm gonna walk you home all the way. Yeah. I will tuck you in and kiss you on the forehead tonight, would you? Yeah. Let's do this.
Yeah. Also, nice gesture. I would wonder why they would, you know, prevention is better than cure, you know. So why not try and seek out who started this whole rape day movement, hold them accountable first, and, you know, also still offer the support of, you know, to get people home safely, but, you know, go after the source of this and be like, what the fuck is going on?
Well, see, I don't think it was just a thing for the university. It was like, I heard of this National Rape Day thing.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, look, if the internet is good at one thing, it's tracking assholes down. So why are we not tracking the asshole down at the start of this? Because you go back far enough, it's one dude.
Yeah, and look, maybe he was found...
who got dumped by, you know, the love of his life or something. He's like, you know what, fuck this, we're having rape day. It's always some sad individual like that. And the internet is usually great at tracking these people down. Yeah. So I think the internet should be tracking that fucking dude down, whoever he is.
I'm sure he probably was found, and not found by the proper authorities, found by people who know how to find people on the internet. I said, do you remember this National Rape Day, yeah? Do you want to take part in it? This is a big bubba. He loves your ass.
Wouldn't he? Yeah, well, just track them down, hand them over to the authorities, and let them get sent to jail, because, you know, anyone associated with rape doesn't do well in jail.
Hate that.
Anyway, good news. Good news all around. That's it. I want to give mention, as I said, to a new mailbag section, hopefully that we can do, because we had great fun last week. Episode 255 is the mailbag episode, and it's kind of ask us anything. Well, we had one shout from Patreon, Mason. He's a long time patron. We've been there for years.
Yes.
But he got his message in too late, so I'm going to give him a shout out here now. If you want to get in touch with us and give us any feedback about the show, or get in touch, or ask us any questions or whatever, it's shout@thenewsburp.com, or you get us all the social medias /newsburp. But here's Mason thing. So we sent it in just as we started recording. So he said, I hope not too late, but you are. I have been meaning to write and say thank you for the shout out about her move. Thank you. It was very kind, and you gave me a much needed laugh. I've been listening on and off lately. Don't worry, not just you guys, but I stopped listening to all podcasts. But I've caught right up, which was good. I had a huge bin session listening to your episodes, and I still think you guys are gold. One of the funniest podcasts out there, in my opinion. How the hell are you guys not on Joe Rogan level yet? We don't know anybody.
Yeah, and he advertises himself well. He promotes himself quite well.
Well, also, you know, he's a world famous comedian and UFC commentator. So, you know, does that going for him as well? When he get a new studio in Texas, it's not going to happen. You know, I'd love to have fuck you money. Like, there's so many times when Joe Rogan should have been, you know, thrown out by cancel culture, and he's just like, fuck you, I'm not going anywhere. Doesn't matter. Did you realize that every time Joe Rogan is mentioned, that his stock shoots right up? Like, whatever.
Yeah.
I'd love a studio in Texas. I'd love to have his problems, you know, of like getting in trouble for saying something. If that was the biggest worry I had every day, I'd sleep like a baby every night. Because everyone knows I'm a fucking twat, so it wouldn't matter what he said.
Great, so you're sleeping and I'm not. Yeah. Like, oh, Jesus, what's that going to say?
He goes on, will you ever do podcasts in the same room again, or is it much easier online? I will eventually get back to doing stuff face to face.
It is easier, in fairness, to do the videos. Once we're kind of back here, I don't know how we're going to do the videos, because I'll have to do two cameras and I'll have to edit it properly. I'm like, fuck's sake.
Yeah. Well, I mean, look, it's a lot easier for me because I don't have to move or do shit.
So there you are, Mason. That's what I'm working with.
When was the last time you seen each other face to face? Last week, you went for a walk.
Yeah.
Went for a stroll. Yeah.
Yeah.
But before that, it had been like for a proper face to face visit. It'd probably been over the year.
Yeah.
Like,
I mean,
we kind of I'd drop stuff up to the house or pick stuff up, but like there wasn't like a proper face to face kind of, you know, hangout session.
I think we got one session here at the house during the pandemic.
Yes,
it was like
after
the first lockdown and things were happening, but then it just wasn't working.
Yeah. But it'd be back to face to face again, I'm sure, you know. As soon as Tina lets me back in the house, you know. after my last offence of pissing in the cutlery drawer.
Why do you keep trying to lick things?
I don't know. Just let me get it out of my system.
Oh God! It's just like, as much as I can go, yeah, I'll get it. Let the dog kind of sniff around the garden and piss and shit in the corner, and then he'll be finished. But like, just saying, let Matt just lick everything and just follow him with pledge.
Look, it's like Schrodinger's lick, right? I mean, you can let me in there and just ignore me, and maybe I will have licked something, and you just won't know about it until you put your hand on the wrong thing at the wrong time.
You know it's going to be the remote. You're going to find the remote, and it's going to be like,
But just the rim of every teacup, of every coffee mug. Just
oh, you know, that would take you a fucking while. What a fucking coffee mugs we have. Unbelievable.
Mason goes on, keep doing what you do. I have to leave for work now. I will try to keep in touch more. I'm fucking single again. Well, you know, with an attitude like that, it's a fucking wonder, sunshine. Oh, here we go. He's getting deep. Oh, here's a good question. Why can't women appreciate a man who does nice things for them? Well, it is, you know, I'm playing devil's advocate here, Mason, but we're only hearing your side of it. So,
Jesus, he's one of our patrons. You're basically saying, Mason, have you thought about it? You being the problem? Because it sounds like it.
I mean, you may have bought her flowers, but, you know, don't push her down the stairs first.
But she's allergic to daisies. You knew that. Fucking hell.
Ah, just painting this guy's a terrible, terrible man. I'm sure he's lovely. Mason, I don't know why. Here's what I'll say to you, Mason. And I'm not answering this question until you tell me how you want it answered. I can give you a nice, polite, supportive answer, or I can give you the cold, hard truth.
Well, I'm saying, if the woman doesn't appreciate it, it's her problem, and get rid.
Kind of what I would have said, but you know, if you wanted to really know my answer, you can let us know, and I'll give you my actual what I think is the answer.
He's just gonna be fuck that bitch, stamp on that motherfucking bitch's head. Hi, honey, I opened the door for you. You're not gonna say, hey, motherfucker, stab.
Yeah. Anyway,
I should say that Mason is raising two, I'm sure, wonderful daughters. So yeah, all power to him.
Yeah. Anyway, happy podcasting, guys. You're both funny as shit. Look, if going through a breakup or whatever, it's not easy. It's really not. But if in any way we can make people smile, you know, that's kind of what we're all about, you know. Because it's easier to smile sometimes than it is to be all wallowing around and, you know, like, oh, no. And I know because, you know, I know. You know, that's it. That's our show. Where can people find us, Adam?
The best place to find us is www.thenewsburp.com for all links to our shows. At the bottom, you'll find a link. Are we still on TeePublic?
Ah, that's the only thing I had to do. Okay, good.
So at the moment, you'll find some TeePublic link that you see our cartoon faces slapped across all kind of merch, like hoodies, t-shirts, mugs, cups, badges, as he mumbles away in the background. You'll find a link to PayPal if you want to drop us just a one-off, something you think that was class, keep that boat afloat, throw us like any amount of monies that you want to the PayPal. And then we have our Patreon, www.patreon.com/newsburp, where if you drop us some monies, you'll get some stuff. So we do, you get the show a day early, you get videos of the show, you get the video of the Patreon section, which is our top five and our Florida mans, and you also get ad-free versions of the show, and you get your shoutouts, and shoutouts go out to
Kevin Fagan, Aaron Eldred, Fiona Cleary, Nathan Peterson, Paul Blunton, Sean Ryan, Sarah Beck, Mason Sloan, Alexander Henry has gone missing this month, and she's gone, come back to us.
Oh no.
And do please keep your support coming. It really helps out a lot. It keeps the lights on. It helps us do stuff. What I hope to do is kind of have like a little Patreon gift ready to send out to people. It's not going to be anything big, but it's be something to send out to you and say thank you very much. A little memento from the show and a little thank you from us to you. But also just sharing us around and reviewing us in whatever app you're listening to would be a massive help to us as well. So thanks so much. Be safe. Be cool. See you next week.
Bye.